Good afternoon, and welcome to the Wednesday afternoon conference call with Trusts Unlimited. This is Jim George speaking. I'm the non-attorney spokesman and facilitator for Trusts Unlimited, and I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time to listen to this call, particularly those of you calling in for the first time and those that will be listening to the replay over the next 24 to 48 hours. We have decided to go ahead with a routine call this week. We were a little bit on the fence with it, given some of the things that I'm going to touch on during the call. But in as much as I promised to have a complete call this week, I decided to go ahead. We haven't had a complete call for over 2 months right now, so I'm probably a little bit rusty touching on all of the important points. But we felt, at least I felt, that you know, we owed it to you to give you a little bit of information. First, I want to touch on what's been going on with the replay calls. I think that my suspicions have been confirmed. Of course, we have a firm that handles placing our calls on YouTube, on IQD calls, and of course, we have a callback number, and it seems that the YouTube calls were not put up, and that people had problem getting through using the phone number that we've had for quite some time. And given the fact that the individuals that we've been working with have not explained to us exactly what's going on, I'm going to tell you what I think is going on. Now, Trusts Unlimited is not a big player by any means. We're a small firm working in a very niche area. But I think that there are people that just don't like some of the things that we've been saying lately, because politics has necessarily entered the equation with regard to the revaluation and a lot of other issues. And for that reason, mysteriously, our calls have not been on YouTube. I just think that to miss 1 week is understandable, but to all of a sudden have the call stop and have no plausible explanation tells me that something else is going on. We're going to follow this week and see what happens. We've sent a letter, a very strongly worded letter, to let the individuals know that we expect our call to be on YouTube. We expect our calls to be on IQD calls. And I'm going to give you right now, if you'll be kind enough to write it down, the numbers if you just want to call in directly for the playback if the YouTube or IQD calls are not up. The first number you want to dial is 206-451-6012. You will then dial 605-313-5163. You'll then use the access code, which is 739-394-pound. And hopefully, with that information, they will not be able, for whatever reason, to take our calls down. This has been very difficult to deal with. And as I said, I suspect that there's been a little foul play at foot here. And I'll just leave it at this. When in the annals of history have the censors been the good guys? I see no reason to censor our calls. Every word that I've spoken, I will stand by. And if someone has a problem with our calls or any of the information on our calls, seems to me the thing to do is contact us and correct our error. Of course, they can't do that, so they try to censor us. But we're not going to allow it. So I'll get off the soapbox now and move on. I'm going to try to go with our standard format here, which is to give you a little bit of information about what's going on in Iraq. We consider the Iraqi dinar still to be the base currency for the potential reset of some of these other currencies. I'll be getting into the program we've put in place, and we will probably go to a Q&A. Let's see how long all of this takes. Again, my apologies if I wander, but I haven't done this for some time, and so I'll do the best that I can. First, by way of disclaimer, Trusts Unlimited is not the purveyor of the dinar and these other currencies. We're not advocating either the sale or the purchase of these currencies, but as rather substantial currency holders ourselves, we're sharing with you the information that we think is relevant. The most relevant piece of information, of course, would be the potential window for the reset. And I'm talking about the reinstitution and then the revaluation of the Iraqi dinar. I still see that it's a possibility that this could occur at any time, and I'll get into a little bit more detail here on the call. So let's talk a little bit about what's been going on in Iraq since our call last week. Well, it seems that the international agencies, we all know who these three-letter agencies are very anxious to do business with Iraq, largely because Iraq has been methodically implementing the reforms in their white papers. Over the last couple of years, they've more than doubled the production of oil, and they're beginning to develop their non-oil revenue areas, which the international communities are interested in. I'm talking about industry, agriculture, and they're even beginning to discuss the possibility of programs for tourism. So this is all moving in the right direction. Now, last week, Iraq sponsored something called the Federal Integrity Commission, and they had a forum to discuss specifically the looting and the smuggling of funds. I'm referring to the provisional Iraqi currency. Now, present at this forum was, of course, the Prime Minister Kazemi and some of the government officials, the President of the Arab League, and members of the UN International Conference Against Corruption. Now, this is an important conference domestically and internationally. Now, when we use the word loot, we're talking specifically about theft, just taking something that doesn't belong to you. But they're using also the word smuggle. That means to take something across a national border, to illegally remove something from the country. Now, what are they smuggling out? They're smuggling out the provisional currency. Now, we've discussed over the decade the deletion of the zeros, which I've explained is the technically the collection of the provisional 3-0 currency. Now, the currency that is in country that is possessed by law-abiding Iraqis, that, for example, when the reinstitution happens, will go to the corner bakery to buy a loaf of bread. If they are in possession of a 10,000 dinar note, the deletion of the zero means that they are either holding one of the new notes, or if they're still in possession of one of the provisional currencies because they've been hoarding it, three of those zeros have been lopped off, so that $10,000 dinar note is really a 10 dinar note. So the provisional currency that remains in the country and was not successfully collected prior to the reinstitution is not the problem. The problem is the smuggled currency, the provisional 3-0 currency that individuals, many of whom may well be officials of the nation of Iraq, have smuggled that currency out of the country and have probably negotiated with some third party to do the exchange in order to take advantage of those three zeros. So that $10,000 note is worth 10,000, or 10,000 dinar note is worth 10,000 dinar, not 10 dinar. Now, these individuals are doing this for one of two reasons. They're either just greedy individuals, and of course, To some degree, they're no different than us. They want to make a buck. The difference is we're doing it legally, and they're not. The more concerning issue is the individuals that have smuggled this money out, and they're laundering it for nefarious purposes in order to fund weapons sales, slavery, drugs, all of that type of stuff. So that's why this forum was created. It's important that it's being done. Now, as I mentioned before, the international community is anxious to get more involved with Iraq. The UN has just made an announcement that they're creating a program to assist Iraq with the development of the private sector. And again, this is to help develop the non-oil revenue-based industries. So they're moving in the right direction. Now, most importantly, although not much has been reported about it, there was a meeting between Prime Minister Kazemi and the King of Saudi Arabia, Salman bin Abdulaziz. And at the end of that, or excuse me, during that seminar, that meeting, that small forum, Kazemi mentioned on several occasions the price of a barrel of Iraqi oil at 45 dinar. He did not express it in the petrodollar, in price of a barrel of crude is about 17 U.S. dollars. He's expressing it in 45 dinar. Now, the currency has not reinstituted, so where's this number come from? It seems to me the 45 dinar is the estimate of what the reinstituted value will be. If that's true, 75 U.S. dollars against 45 dinar means the dinar would reinstitute at about $1.65. I'm not saying that's what will happen, but we've always known that when they reinstitute, the dinar would have to come out at a slight premium above the dollar in order for the Iraqi citizens to utilize the dinar and not the U.S. dollar. So if it's $45 for a barrel of Brent crude, that would translate to $1.65 at the reinstituted rate. Now, they're also saying that when the currency revalues globally, it will revalue at approximately 3 times the reinstituted rate. Well, what's 3 times 165? $5, which is the dollar amount that we have been projecting for over a decade, and which I will use in my examples a little later in this call. Lastly, the governor of the CBI said that he expects the issuance of all of the lower denoms to be distributed to the general public within 2 weeks. Now, whether that's the case or not, it seems to me that the lower denoms serve no purpose unless they are available just before or just after an announced reinstitution. So I'm not saying that the dinar is going to reinstitute in 2 weeks. No one knows the exact date or the timing. I'm just saying that it makes no sense to say and do the things they're doing unless there is an underlying assumption that there will be a reinstitution. So everything continues to move in the right direction. And as I said, I think I said it on our last call, once we hit mid-September, I do not want to see a revaluation in September. I don't even want to see a reinstitution, to be honest with you, because I'm concerned that the IRS might try to mess with us and say, well, look, the currency didn't reinstitute until October. Excuse me, didn't revalue until October, but it reinstituted in September. That represents a taxable event. I don't know if that's the case, because if the currency reinstitutes in country, that means it's a functional currency in Iraq. It doesn't mean that you and I can go to the bank and get, say, $1.65 for each of our dinar. If the Trump administration was still in office, this would not be a problem. But with the Biden administration, I can absolutely see his IRS giving us a hard time because the reinstitution happens 2 days before October 1st. So to make things simple, I hope nothing happens until October. Then we do not have to worry about the tax implications until January 15th of next year. This is the information I have for today. I am going to go ahead and get into the program we've put in place to assist you. As I've said in the past, when we established this program, it's for a very simple reason. We knew that most individuals that were holders of the dinar and some of these other currencies are hardworking middle-class folks who have never in their life had to manage a substantial amount of money. And so we put a turnkey program in place to assist you. It's a two-phased program. Phase one is pre-RV. Phase two is post-RV. Pre-RV involves all of the products, services, and professional referrals that will be made available to you. Excuse me, phase one is the establishment of a pre-RV package of asset protection trusts. Phase two is all of the products, services, and professional referrals that will be made available to you after the revaluation of a dinar and some of these other assets, because you're going to need the assistance of professionals both pre- and post-RV. Now, there's a reason Trusts Unlimited has established a package of irrevocable trusts to assist you both pre- and post-RV. I'm going to touch on some of the other entities that people can establish and why they are inferior to a package of irrevocable trusts. First, individuals can establish entities referred to as limited liability companies, sub-S corporations, and even family limited partnerships. And these business entities can provide some level of asset protection, primarily by dividing business assets from personal assets. The problem here is that the possession of these currencies is a personal asset. In addition, courts have ruled that LLCs, sub-S corporations, and such entities that are owned in the majority by one individual or a closely held group can be pierced for civil litigation. So that makes them inappropriate for your needs. Now, some individuals have established an entity referred to as a revocable trust or a living or loving trust. These are statutory trusts established state by state, and these trusts will exempt your estate from probate and can, if properly structured, substantially reduce and even eliminate the federal estate tax, but they can provide no asset protection or privacy. So they're going to be inappropriate for your needs. Lastly, some individuals have established single irrevocable trusts, and they certainly provide more protection than the previous entities I mentioned. However, even the single irrevocable trust has an inherent flaw, and it's this. Because all of the assets are owned by that one entity, if any asset within that trust is involved in civil litigation, that could necessarily bring all of your other assets and net worth into that litigation as well. So the only bulletproof asset protection available, and the best asset protection domestically, period, full stop, is a package of irrevocable trusts. And I'm going to explain how and why you need to establish such a trust pre-RV and why it provides protection both pre- and post-RV. Essentially, you need to establish this trust package prior to the revaluation for the following reasons. First, this trust provides you privacy and anonymity. That's because assets within this trust are sealed, meaning that the general public will have no knowledge of your net worth or your actual holdings. Second, by establishing this trust package, you will be able to successfully avoid personal IRS scrutiny. If you are holding these currencies in direct title when they revalue, the IRS computers will probably spit out an audit. And based on the substantial increase in value in that 1 year relative to your prior year's earnings, you're probably looking at a full-blown six-year audit. Such an audit would be time-consuming. It would certainly be frustrating because it's come along at the precise time that these currencies have revalued, and there's many other things you'd rather be spending your time and money on. And lastly, the cost of a full-blown six-year audit would probably be more than the cost of our asset protection trust package. On the other hand, if your asset protection trust package is in force pre-RV, and you have assigned your pre-RV currencies to that trust package, you will have successfully transferred the taxable event of this revaluation from yourself personally to the trust. Now, this is important for a couple of reasons. First, there's less than a 10% chance of an IRS audit if this taxable event were to occur within a rather sophisticated trust package like ours. And second, and most importantly, even if the IRS determines to audit your trust, they can't do a six-year audit. Why? Because the only taxable event within the trust will be the revaluation itself. The third reason you'd want to establish this trust package, because incorporated within the package is our specially designed gift subtrust. Now, if you plan on gifting currency to family and friends, you need to make the gifts prior to the revaluation in order to avoid a substantial federal gift tax. Now, if you're gifting to individuals that you have no problem giving them the currency to exchange for themselves or giving them the U.S. dollar lump sum after you've negotiated the exchange, that can be accomplished outside of the trust with a standard gift letter. But if you are hesitant for any reason to give any of these individuals the post-RV lump sum, you can gift to them through the specially designed gift subtrust. And because you're gifting through this subtrust, their U.S. dollars will be protected along with yours. In addition, the language of this subtrust will allow you to gift up to a certain amount of a currency or currencies, meaning you can gift to these individuals the exact dollar amount that you had in mind, irrespective of the exchange rate. And lastly, because you're gifting through this specially designed gift subtrust, you'll be able to manage, invest, and distribute this money to these individuals as you deem appropriate. The fourth reason you'd want to establish this pre-RV trust package is because it's been structured in such a way as to allow your estate to bypass the cost and delay of probate and the federal estate tax. I'm going to give you two quick scenarios. Scenario number one, you purchase 5 million dinar for $5,000. The day after that, those currencies revalue for $25 million. The day after that, you pass away, leaving your heirs an estate of $25 million. Now that estate must go through probate, a process that ordinarily can take anywhere from 6 to 18 months. But probate is a public disclosure process, meaning that the general public will be aware of the size of your estate, who your heirs are, and how much each stands to inherit. So if anyone feels they have a legitimate claim against you, your estate, or your heirs, they can simply file that claim with a probate court. And that could tie the estate up for years and in some cases even decades. And your heirs will have either limited access or no access at all to their respective inheritance until the litigation has been resolved. Then there's something called the federal estate tax. This is the tax that the federal government would assess in order for that estate to be transferred to your heirs. Approximately $10 million of that $25 million estate would bypass any federal estate tax, but the balance could be taxed as much as 65%. Now, this scenario is not only unacceptable, it's completely and totally avoidable. How? Scenario number two, you purchase 5 million dinar for $5,000. The day after that, you assign those currencies on paper to our asset protection trust package. The day after that, those currencies revalue for $25 million. The day after that, you pass away, leaving your heirs that very same estate of $25 million, but this time protected in our asset protection trust package. As a result, there will be no probate. There will be no public disclosure of your estate. Your heirs will have immediate access to their respective inheritance, and the federal estate tax will be zero, saving your heirs as much as 55% of their inheritance. The fifth reason you'd want to establish this trust package is for some very specific asset protection benefits, one pre-RV, one post-RV. Pre-RV, this trust package will allow you to circumvent something called the Uniform Fraudulent Transfer Act. Now, what does that mean? Under our system of civil procedure, you can only be sued for what you actually own in direct title or the value of property at the time you transfer it out of title to an entity like our trust package. So let's use the example from before. You purchase 5 million dinar for $5,000. You transfer those currencies to our trust package. They subsequently revalue for $25 million. You begin to live a lifestyle more reflective of your newfound wealth, and a couple of years down the road, someone sees that you're living rather comfortably and decides for whatever reason that they're going to sue you. Well, this prospective plaintiff has two problems. First, he or she better have a very strong case and very deep pockets because this trust is structured in such a way as to make it extremely expensive and extremely time-consuming to pursue civil litigation. Now, what does that mean? It means that you have just weeded out all frivolous lawsuits, because no one's going to sue you for frivolous reasons if they have to spend large amounts of hard-earned dollars just to get into court. Second, Post-RV. There's something called limited liability stop loss. This protects you from future bad acts after you have acquired this wealth. Now, I want to step back for a second, because I did neglect to mention one thing about the Uniform Fraudulent Transfer Act. Yes, frivolous lawsuits are weeded out, but there's something else, and that is this. Once any prospective plaintiff learns that pursuant to the Uniform Fraudulent Transfer Act, the only thing they could ever win by way of a civil award would be $5,000, the value of the currency at the time you transferred it out of title and to the trust, and none of the post-RV value of $25 million, there will be no lawsuit. So I wanted to touch on that before we got to the post-RV protection. Now, post-RV, there's a protection referred to as limited liability stop loss. This protects you from future bad acts after you have acquired this wealth. This protection is accomplished through a legal strategy referred to as segregation of assets. This is why we have established a package of trusts, and I want to give you an example on how this would work. Once again, we'll use the same example. You purchased 5 million dinar for $5,000, transferred the currencies to the trust. They subsequently revalued for 25 million. Now that you have 25 million in trust, you decide to make some purchases. So you purchase a larger primary residence, a vacation home, perhaps a half a dozen rental properties for tax write-off and additional cash flow, a couple of cars, and let's say a boat and an RV. But as you purchase these items, you place each of them in their own separate sub-trust to be managed by your master trust, the initial trust that you assigned your currencies to pre-RV. Now, how does this protect your wealth in the future? I'll give you an example. Let's say one day you're driving one of your new cars. You have an accident. The accident is clearly your fault, and tragically, someone is seriously injured or even killed. Well, the family of the victim is going to want to sue you. But remember, civil suits are about monetary awards, and you don't legally own anything. So the plaintiffs would be left to sue the owner of the car that you were driving. Well, who owns that car? One of your subtrusts, of which you are merely the beneficiary. And what's in that subtrust? Merely that one car and the car insurance policy. In that scenario, the car insurance carrier will negotiate an out-of-court settlement with the victim's family. You will not be involved in those rather unpleasant negotiations. The car insurance carrier will repair or replace your car, making you whole. And this is important. All of your other assets and wealth are safely protected in the other sub-trusts. Why? Because under the law, those separate sub-trusts are separate legal entities or persons having nothing whatsoever to do with the accident in question, so the plaintiffs would have no standing to pursue those separate legal entities. So your trust package works very much the way a commercial barge would work, where all of the valuable cargo is stored in a series of small compartments. Why? In the event that any compartment is ever breached, the only potential loss would be the cargo in that one compartment. The cargo in the other compartments is safe and secure to the firewalls, and the barge will never sink. Now, our trust package is initially a package of 10 trusts consisting of one master trust, one optional gift subtrust, and 8 additional subtrusts. I'm going to get into the specifics about that package in a moment, but before I do, there is one other benefit that this trust package offers. And that is, as a holder of one of our trust packages, you will be eligible to participate in all the products, services, and professional referrals that will be made available to you after the revaluation of the dinar and these other currencies. I'll just make mention of one of those benefits here. Trusts Unlimited will be sponsoring a post-RV seminar to be held in Disney World, Florida, approximately 30 days after the revaluation of the Iraqi dinar. Present at that seminar will, of course, be the staff of Trusts Unlimited to assist you with the management and funding of your trust packages post-RV. We'll also have our tax specialists there to assist you with some of the more sophisticated tax strategies that you're going to want to utilize after you've acquired this wealth. We'll also have our independent fee-based wealth managers there as well, because you're going to want to reposition assets after the revaluation for a number of reasons. First, as a general proposition, the more wealth you possess, the less risk you need to take. We know that 95% of all windfalls, however large and from whatever source, are lost within 3 to 5 years due to inexperience, mismanagement, and fraud. We also know that the general global shift from fiat-based to Basel III-compliant commodity-backed currencies in and of itself is going to create extremely volatile financial markets, and so you're going to want to divert a substantial amount of your net worth to tangible assets to avoid this volatility. Lastly, we know that the international community, the Western central banks, are working diligently to move to a digital currency. Now, even though that digital currency may be Basel III compliant, the fact of the matter is the control of the inflows and outflows of that money in the banking system will be done by them. And so, again, this is another reason to move money out of the banks, out of the digital system, and into assets which you then have more control of. Now, as I said, our package is initially a package of 10 trusts consisting of one master trust that will hold your assigned currencies pre-RV and financial assets like bank accounts and investment accounts post-RV, one optional gift sub-trust, and 8 additional conventional sub-trusts to hold financial assets like homes, cars, boats, etc. Now, this is the modification of a rather sophisticated trust package that we've utilized in the past for our more affluent clients, a package that had an initial cost of anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000. But when we decided to work with Denarians a few years ago, and actually it's been over a decade now, we knew that that price tag was going to be unaffordable. So by modifying the package, we've been able to reduce the cost to $3,000. Now, there are several ways you can pay for that. If you pay us up front, we'll discount the price to $2,550, reducing the cost by $500. If that's simply not possible, we even have a deferred payment arrangement. You'd make an initial payment of $525, which basically would offset our out-of-pocket costs just to produce and deliver your trust to you. The balance of the $3,000 would then be paid in $100 monthly installments, with any balance due within 30 days after the revaluation of the Iraqi dinar. One other method is, we do have the availability of credit cards. So if you pay us up front with a credit card, not only will you get the $500 discount, but the minimum payment on your card would be less than the $100 a month you'd pay under our deferred payment arrangement. So any way that you want to do this, we're happy to work with you, because our objective is to help you get your trust enforced and your currencies assigned to that trust before the reinstitution and revaluation for the reasons that we've given. Now, I'm going to go to a Q&A in just a moment. Before I do, I again suggest you have a pencil and paper handy. I'm going to give you all of our contact information again. We're going to see how this goes. As I said, I haven't done a call in some time, so we haven't done a Q&A in some time, and my time is somewhat limited. I have other calls I have to get into. But I'm going to go ahead and open the Q&A, and then I'm going to go ahead and give you our contact information. Okay. Now, for those of you calling in for the first time, and again, here's our contact information. You can go to our website, which is trusts with an S, unlimitedllc.com. Our email address is trusts with an S, unlimitedllc@gmail.com. Our phone service is 307-274-4122. Of course, our live call-in number is 720-716-7300. Our call-in number has been a little bit complicated. You initially call 206-451-6012. You will then dial 605-313-5163. Our access code is 739-394-pound. Hopefully, our call will be up on YouTube and IQDs this week. If that issue has not been resolved, then you're going to need to use this series of phone numbers to get to the replay. Lastly, if you'd like to be included on our email list, you can go to our website, go to the bottom, enter your name and email address where indicated. You should be on our email list within 24 hours, but bear in mind we only send emails out very periodically, pre-RV, but after the reinstitution of the Dinaran country, emails may go out as often as weekly. So let's go ahead and get to the Q&A. Our first call is area code 347. That's 347. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Praveen from New York. I heard that, first of all, I know tomorrow marks the 90th day that the 2% rule was in effect, or it's been observed, or it. So would that indicate that the revaluation is going to come?
Well, it's just another example of something that's aligning in order to proceed with the reinstitution. However, this is just my opinion. The 2% is their target. I do not think that it's hard. I don't think if everything else is in place and they're not within the 2%, I don't think that'll affect it at all.
Yeah, I heard that. I think maybe within 1 or 2 weeks, I think the budget was about to come out and the rate, a new budget for 2020, and the rate was going to be included. I've been hearing it may come out soon. So is that the case or?
Either. A lot of things are possible. The budget come out with a new rate. The budget could come out saying that they expect the new rate before they make any expenditures. The budget could come out with the existing provisional rate, and they just won't make any expenditures until they adjust the rate. I personally think that what's going to happen is that the new rate will come out either just before or immediately within a matter of days after the budget. But we'll just have to see how that plays out.
Do you think this can get pushed out to January?
Worst case scenario, yes, but I don't think that's going to be the case. But if you've been involved in this for any length of time, the advantage we have now is the number of people that are trying to stop this have just dwindled. They just don't have the juice to stop this, in my opinion.
I hope you don't think Biden will stop it, do you?
I don't think Biden can. I think this is, at this point, I think this is up to the CBI. And you also have to remember, Biden is a globalist, and the globalists want this done.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, bye-bye. Our next caller is area code 603. That's 603. Go ahead.
Well, good afternoon, Jim.
Oh, my God. Long time no hear. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing wonderful, Jim. I just want to say, when you came along and said, I'm a little rusty at this, you nailed it. I mean, it's like you never went away for a couple months, with your full program there. So great job. And it's great to hear you back on doing everything again. So I just want to say that and just say hi. That's all. I got no question. I just follow everything and everything's going good. Life is good. Unfortunately, about 6 weeks ago, my wife Jane, you remember her, we had breakfast that day.
Yes.
Jane had another stroke. She had a stroke a year ago. Just another one. But she's okay. She's okay. She's battling back. She's going to therapy a couple of times a week now. And she's just now starting to walk again.
Well, God bless, my friend. I'm sorry to hear that. She's a lovely lady. I remember our conversations. I certainly hope all goes well for her.
Yeah, it is. It is. I get emotional, but...
I don't blame you. I understand completely. I tell you, my wife is a hospice nurse, and the stories that she tells me are really gut-wrenching.
Oh, really? Wow. Well, she got to be a special lady to be doing that kind of stuff. That's for darn sure.
Yeah. Yeah, she puts up with all my crap to boot.
Hey, same thing with janitor. You know, I'm still, doing what I always do. Although we are fully retired now. We bought 10 acres here in Florida, so I'm no longer in New Hampshire. But... and I'm out there cutting grass constantly, and Jane looks at me the other day. She says, "We bought 10 acres. Why?"
Yeah. So she can watch it.
Just to be away from her. Yeah, well, yeah, she can sit there. We actually got her own tractor last year, too. And up until recently, she'd go out there because we got some meadow area, some partial wood and all that. But she used to like to go out on her old John Deere tractor and just cut the meadow down. Well, obviously, she can't do that right now. But I said, "Jane, what we need to do is that I'll help you get up in the driver's seat, and I got some great big ratchet straps. And we'll put the ratchet strap across there and take a picture of it and send it to all our friends and family. Say, look, Jane can still cut the grass."
Good.
Well, but obviously we knew that. So anyway, well, you got business to take care of there. I just wanted to say that, it's great to talk to you. We love you. Everything you're doing there, Jim, you're doing a great job. And we're just with everybody else. Is hope and praying this thing comes to fruition soon. And other than that, everything's good. Everything's good.
Well, take care. Take care now.
Okay. And heads up to Les. Heads up to Les of Chicago, too. It'll be a long time since I talked to Les. But if he comes on, tell him to say hi if he's not listening today.
Sorry.
Beautiful. Okay, Jimbo. We'll let you go.
Take care. Bye-bye. Our next call is area code 808. Go ahead.
Hi there.
It's hello.
Daisy from Hawaii.
Daisy, how are you doing, Daisy?
Still hanging in there.
Aren't we all?
I still believe this will go through and very soon.
Well,
my question for you is...
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. My question is, because of all this travel restrictions and whatnot, I'm one of those who refuses to comply and take those vaccines. And so they tell me I may have trouble traveling. And I said, well, for me, if I can't travel, that's fine. But are you still going to be able to do something for us in Hawaii?
Okay,
it's
funny you mention that because recently was speaking with the people at Disney about our post-RV seminar, and they were talking about with these quote-unquote variants that there may be some restrictions. For example, we can't have a seminar with 1,000 people with social distancing. I mean, you can't do it, So, we can't have people sitting.
Yeah, we'll shut down the whole place for us.
Yeah, they give us a whole park, So,
right.
We might, worst case scenario, we might end up doing a DVD from the office and getting it out. So we could do that. But you're right about the travel issue. Hopefully, most of us will be able to get into a car and drive, even if it means a long drive. Although I don't want to get
yes.
be honest with you, it makes me nervous to travel with all of this currency. After it's revalued, because it's
right.
just a matter. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably not something we should be talking about a whole lot on air. Anyway. But you're right. Hawaii is an issue. And I don't have any answers for you other than, remember, the banks are really, really jonesing to be involved in this. So I have no doubt that if travel becomes an issue, they're going to come to you.
Okay.
I don't know how it's going to be done. I just don't see that being a problem. I just think they're going to work something out because they want to do the exchange as much as you do.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess as I've been doing all this time, I'll leave it in God's hands and yours.
Well, don't say my name and God's in the same sentence. That's not going to work.
Well, I listen to you, you know, as often as I can, and you know, and I just think you're really great, and
well,
you know,
I appreciate that.
I'm glad you're still there.
To be honest with you, I haven't done the call for a couple of months. So I was thinking, Jim, don't have a senior moment and forget where you are, you know.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, the country has endured enough senior moments in the last 8 months. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I got to run and take this other call.
Okay, thank you.
Keep an eye on this travel stuff. All right. Take
care. Okay, bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, our next caller is area code 801. That's 801.
Hello, Jim.
Hello. Hey,
Clay. It's Clay Blackwell. How are you?
Yes, sir. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing just fine. I appreciate you having the Q&A because, you know, without it, a lot of information that you want to get builds up and you end up with this long list, and then you finally have to condense it down to what you really want to know.
Well,
but
you know, you can
honestly.
You can always email me if you have questions, too.
Okay.
And you just, you know, and I'll bullet point you right back.
Okay, I appreciate you telling me that. I just want to know, you know, with all the intel out there, if there's a meeting of the minds, there's some people out there that you know are way out in left field, that it's all about the hype for them. Then there are those that really do the work. I would think you are one of those. You speak very eloquently, and your vocabulary is very broad. So, and you put it in a way that laymen can understand, so I appreciate that. But I wanted to see if there was a meeting of the minds. One meaning, I know this thing is imminent. It's coming very quickly because of all the things Kademi's done, the MOUs and the different conferences and what have you. And then you brought something up that I had not heard about Kademi talking with, I guess, the premier or the prince of Saudi Arabia about coming in at 45 dinar per barrel. Is that what you said, 45 dinar per barrel?
Yeah, well, the point I was trying to make was he was expressing the price, projecting the price at 45, and what I'm saying is he didn't say 45,000 dinar. He said 45
right.
dinar. Well, the only way you can sell a price at 45 dinar is if it's a reinstituted value.
Exactly, because 45 dinar, the way it is right now, is only worth about $5 at that.
Now, could he have been saying once it reinstitutes, it'll be at approximately 45 without telling us when that date is? Is it going to be January? I just don't think he would diverge from the petrodollar and even give the value in dinar unless the underlying assumption is the reinstitution's imminent. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Well, the way I look at it is they can't really say. They might be able to start some of the reforms without reinstituting or revaluing their currency. Those things don't require money, so per se. But there's something out there that I was told called the 5 mils. And what that pertains to is retirement reimbursement or repayment to people who have actually retired in Iraq. And that would require that their money be revalued or international in order to make those payments. With that and any other reforms that are coming by 2022, they're going to have to do something between now and then. There's also the issue of this holiday that they've got coming up that they're planning, an Independence Day, so to speak. Do you know in history regarding any country if when the markets are down and there's no monetary activity going on, if that is an ideal time to revalue currency?
I don't know if there's an ideal time, but I do know that when the time comes in a given situation and they don't do it, they're going to suffer crushing hyperinflation. At this point, I can't think of a single reason why they wouldn't do it. I can't think of a single obstruction at this point. Even in the past, in 2012 and in 2014 when they were close, they didn't have any of the reforms that they have now. So let me put it this way. If it doesn't happen, and I'll just push it to January, I'm at a complete and total loss for what the hell they're doing.
Well, this is what I honestly think you're going to do. Go ahead.
There is one other economic argument, and this is getting in the weeds with the economists. They keep talking about the money supply. There's too much dinar. But once again, they're referring to the 3-0 provisional currency. The best way to reduce the money supply is to lop off the zeros. Now, that's true. The international holders of the currency, that will not affect them. But all of the currency that's still floating around in Iraq, the 3-0s are gone. So that's a way to reduce substantially the money supply. So there's just no argument out there to me that's a deal breaker, that's an impediment that should defer this any longer.
Well, it shouldn't matter how much money is out there. They're only in control of what they have in country. So to devalue their dinar to soak up those $25,000 notes, they've done a pretty good job of that right now. They're not going to get them all, but they probably got a large percentage of them. As you're well aware, when it does revalue, what our value of the money was worth for us is going to the Treasury Department.
Right.
That's where it's going. It's not going back to Iraq. It's going to have value either way, which gives it purchasing power around the world.
Well, the economists are also talking about the substantial increase in currency globally is going to be hyperinflationary, and to some degree that's true, which is why I'm saying we've got to thread the needle. We've got to go to the bank. We've got to do our exchange. We're concerned about the digital currency. We're concerned about inflation and lots of purchasing power, so we have to move a reasonable amount of that money to tangibles, not only to retain control of those assets, but to avoid the volatility and the inflation.
Last question. You said that they're looking to disperse or distribute the small denoms in country within the next 2 weeks. Where did that intel come from?
That came from a statement that was released by the governor of the central bank. The small denoms are in the possession of the 8 regional banks, and they just want to make them available to the general public. But my point is that makes absolutely no sense unless there's going to be a reinstitution.
Exactly. They're not going to be worth anything.
Precisely.
So with that said, I would think this thing's got to come down the pike. If they're doing that within the next 2 weeks, it's got to come down the pike around the first. And not only that, the CBI also said one reason we haven't revalued is because of all the corruption. And that's what's been happening over years and years and years until Kadhimi came in. So by them dissolving their government and starting brand new, that should alleviate a lot of that corruption. Not to say that some of the new elected officials aren't corrupt, but I would think Kadhimi's putting election laws and these kinds of things in place to offset those things.
Not just that. The Federal Integrity Commission, remember, one of the participants in that forum was the UN International Conference Against Corruption. So what they're saying is those of you that have ferreted this money out of the country, you may be out of our jurisdiction because you're not operating in Iraq, but we have the international community keeping an eye on you. So if you have ferreted this money out of the country for nefarious purposes, we're going to track you down.
So this is the question. I'll let you go with this. If that money has been ferreted out of country, those countries that have received those monies know where they came from. And I would assume they do know your customer there as well, or they're in violation of international laws if they accept money that's been smuggled out of the country.
What? Remember, it's still hard currency. So what I'm assuming they've done is they've gone to non-extradition nations. They've filtered this money. I mean, they've smuggled this money out of the country. They're negotiating some sort of an agreement with some third party in an effort, you know, and it could be organizations that have legitimate fronts. I mean, you know, this is very, you know, we're talking billions here, maybe even a trillion.
Uh-huh.
So mm-hmm. Remember, a good guy just gets up every day, you know, goes to work, takes care of his family. The bad guy's the one that's up all day and night scheming and planning and doing all this stuff. So all that money that's been smuggled out, you know, they've already got a plan, so we've got to have something to counter what they're doing, and that's what this Integrity Commission is all about. But again, it's another indication that they're serious about proceeding, because they don't need to track these people down if their intent is not to reinstitute.
Right. That makes sense. Perfect sense. All right, Jim, I do appreciate you, and thank you for the Q&A.
Yes, sir. Take care, my friend. Well, that was our last call for this afternoon. Again, I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time to listen to this call. I certainly hope for those of you calling in for the first time or listening to the replay, heard enough information that you want to contact us to get our initial no-obligation informative package. It includes a lot of information about us, about the trusts, about the currencies, why you need to establish these trusts pre-RV. The package is a no-obligation package, even though it does contain everything you need should you decide to proceed. We do have one other caller that just came in. I'm going to go ahead and take this caller. This is area code 405. Go ahead.
Hello, Jim. This is Doug in Oklahoma City.
Hey, Doug. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well.
Great.
And of course, like others, my mind is a blur having to try to recall all the questions that I should have written down over the last couple of months. I guess my focus for the short time that we have is the demise of the petrodollar and how that will ultimately affect even things like the cost of a barrel of oil, especially since so many countries now, I mean, Nigeria, China, they're all moving towards paying for oil in their own currencies. I think it's a matter of time. I mean, the premier of France was in Iraq. There's so many things that are churning. I mean, Putin just met with them yesterday, I think, or the day before. So from a perspective of that, how do you factor that in into the potential for the reval and the value for the dollar coming out of the reval? Excuse me, the dollar for the dollar coming out of the reval.
Okay, well, let's work backwards. Let's first start. We had, shortly after World War II, we had the Bretton Woods Conference, in which came out of that the U.S. dollar was going to be the basic reserve currency for the entire world, and the establishment of the Western Bank shifting almost exclusively to the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. Then in the 70s, we went off the gold and transitioned to the petrodollar, which basically made us almost full fiat currency. Since then, we've operated with the petrodollar. So what that means is purchases of oil on the international markets was done using the U.S. dollar. All that basically meant was they had to convert to the U.S. dollar. And, of course, the U.S., just like the bank will get a fee for the exchange, the U.S. got a fee for the exchange of whatever currency it was into the dollar in order to then purchase the oil or the petroleum. Now what's going to happen is the U.S. will lose hegemony over that market in terms of the fees generated from the transaction of the purchase of oil internationally. So I don't know or think that that's really going to have an effect that much on us. It just means that the United States is no longer going to be the first among equals. The United States is losing some of its control that way. And, of course, this is exactly what the globalists that are running the show right now want anyway. But from our narrow perspective, as I said, we want to go to the bank. We want to do our exchange. We want to get the money out of the financial markets, because the stock market, for a lot of reasons, is probably going to see a substantial correction as well. As a matter of fact, I'm looking over my stuff and my wife's stuff. I'm calling our guy this week, and I'm making a lot of moves right now to get out of financials and get out of some of the holdings that we have in our portfolio as well. But no, I don't think it's going to affect. I don't think it's going to affect the exchange. I think it's going to affect the purchasing power of the dollar, which is again why we need to diversify.
Well, you know, there are many voices now that you can listen to, and everybody has their opinion. But the one thing that seems to be coming a chorus among them is that, you know, significant financial corrections are coming in all the markets, housing, everything. And so from that perspective, actually, if the dinar did revalue and we did have a good sizable portfolio as far as just cash, the potential crash in the housing market could bode well. My question related to that is, you have often talked about the move to convert the money into tangibles. And from a perspective of world events and things like that, do you have any idea what you think a reasonable time frame might be to start doing this, and then to try to get things, you know, do you think examine the options, get things converted within a year, right, things like that?
Okay, now we're getting into some investment advisory stuff. So this is my personal opinion. I'm not professionally advising anyone. I agree with you what's going to happen. So there's two ways to look at it. Short term, you should probably move some assets to tangibles because of inflation, which is actually loss of the purchasing power of a currency. I've used this one example all the time. People say, well, gee, I bought a house when I was 30 for $100,000, and when I was 50, I sold it for $250,000. I made $150,000, to which I say, guess what you can do with that $250,000? Buy a comparable house, which is essentially the same house. What you lost was purchasing power, okay? So you want to move some money. On the other hand, if you do retain some cash, even though you have lost some purchasing power, if everything tanks, then you can go in and buy real estate, or you can buy stocks and bonds at historically low prices because it'll turn around. Do you want a dollar cost average back in? Do you want to put a lump sum in? That's something for your investment advisor to discuss. So I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the bank. I'm going to do my exchange. I already have some things in the works that I want to do. Even if the markets waffle, when I get into real estate, I have the capital expenditures and the depreciation to offset the taxable event of the revaluation. I'll still hold some money out for liquidity purposes if everything tanks. While most people, unfortunately, are selling, I'll be buying. But that's just me, okay? And I understand risks and all of that better than the average guy, just because of the nature of the work that I've been involved in my entire career. But that's the best answer I can give you.
Well, you know, I'd love to talk for a long time because there's been so many months of our calls, but I'll let you go. I thank you so much. Obviously, we all listen to you faithfully every week. From a perspective of just the greed factor for many of the people who are in power in this country, I mean, if they look at it, and if we have any sway over this whatsoever, I mean, it would seem eminently practical to wait until the 1st of October to do anything, but I don't know if we have that type of leverage or pull anymore. That's my last question as far as things that are happening in Iraq.
Okay, well, if the thing reinstitutes while we're talking, that doesn't mean it'll revalue prior to October 1st. That means that the only exposure we may have is the tax implication for the because they'll say, well, you still made money. Our argument is going to be, well, no, because it was a non-functional currency in our country. We couldn't go to a bank and exchange it. Now, if we can go to the bank and exchange it at the reinstituted rate, I don't know why anyone would want to do that, but that would be an argument for the IRS to say there was a taxable event, which is why, you know, I just do not want to see anything happen before October. I said it in my last call. Once we hit mid-September, for the love of God, don't do anything till October.
Well, but from that perspective, unless they change their own tax laws, that's why we have it all in the trust. So it's a tax-deferred gain until we actually pull it out of the trust anyway. Is that correct?
Yes, but remember, the IRS, pursuant to United States versus Caterpillar, 1978, says the IRS can unilaterally post facto reinterpret a statute. So I just don't trust this bunch. I just don't trust him. And they, you know, I could see them, I could honestly see them sitting around and saying, well, we're going to stick it to them. We're going to do this on the last day of September. They're not going to pay their taxes, and then we're going to take it. I don't put it past these people. I hate to be this way, but, I this ain't my first rodeo. I've dealt with these people before, and I walked away from D.C. 30 years ago because I just couldn't deal with it. I couldn't deal with it. And the same people are still there.
Well, the contradiction to what they even say is that, you know, a good number of the people in the legislature have been able to get their staff and themselves exempt from the COVID mandate. I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You just go, it never ends. You know, their kids don't have to pay back student loans. They have their own health system. They have their own retirement system. They don't abide by any of the edicts that they mandate on the rest of us. It's just, my head blows up every time I hear that guy speak. And anyway,
I know.
Anyway, Jim.
Don't get me started. The lawyers are going to say, Jim, we let's do it this way, Doug. Think about any other questions you have. Just email me. I'll knock them out.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Jim, thank you so much. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye now. Now, that really is our last call for today. I want to appreciate all of you taking the time to listen to the call and, of course, calling with your questions. We'll be back next week, same time. Certainly, if something of a dramatic nature were to happen between now and next week, we'll try to get out an emergency email and schedule an emergency call. Failing that, we will be back next Wednesday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.